from that point onwards, then I was like, I'm not even going to cold call anymore. I'm just going to double down on this.
Hello and welcome to episode 147 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. In today's episode, we are joined by Connor Kelly. Based in Vancouver and just a little over 2 years into his real estate career, Connor has gone all in on social media, specifically TikTok, to drive business. In his first year alone, Connor closed 57 deals and is now managing a team of 20. Throughout our conversation, he shares how he first broke through on TikTok, tips for creating content as a social media newbie, and dives deep into what kind of content performs best on the platform. But before we get on to today's featured interview, make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents Podcast. You can find the show on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and now Amazon Music. Also, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Connor Kelly. If you're interested in seeing more, I've linked his TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube profiles in the episode description. You can also check him out on his Big Deal Real Estate podcast. Well, really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, who you are and where you're at.
Yeah. So my name's Connor Kelly. I'm a realtor out of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. I've only been in the industry for 2 years, did 57 deals my first year. Now I manage and coach a team of 25 agents on pace to do something similar this year. Before real estate, I was actually a plumber for almost 9 years, but I just felt like I wasn't in alignment with the person I wanted to be in the life that I wanted to live. So quit that cold turkey, went into real estate full time and just needed something to happen. So that's why I just started. I was doing everything. I was making calls, door knocking, sending flyers, like DMing people, social media. Like literally I just did everything until something took off. And then the TikTok thing. I started with TikTok was the platform. And the second video I ever put out got like 150,000 views. But I was talking about an investment property that I owned. So I was like, I didn't think I was going to get business from it. You know what I mean? I just thought this is a lot of reach. This is like better than having a billboard, right? Because people can hear my voice and connect with me and they see my personality as opposed to just my face. So I was like, this is a pretty sweet brand awareness ad. So I'm just going to keep doing this. Right. And then like a month and a half into that, the phone just started ringing off of TikTok. So,
right. Yeah. So kind of, you know, I would definitely want to get into, obviously that first, TikTok video that you did that took off, but kind of going back, you said that you just went cold turkey into real estate. What was that like? I mean, that's got to be kind of like a scary feeling going from having a pretty steady paycheck to it's nothing until you make that sale.
Yeah. Like when I was plumbing, I was making good money. It was like 110 grand a year. I also didn't pay for any of my gas. So it was a really good paying job. And it was extremely stressful, man. Like I was so skinny. I lost so much weight. My testosterone, because I remember I got a blood test. Cause like, what the hell is wrong with me? My testosterone was 7. And like the minimum it has to be is 7. Right. Cause I remember, and then I asked my doctor like a year later, my testosterone was high again. I was like, what happened? Why was I so messed up? He's like, oh, you're probably really stressed out. Right. I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's when I just got into real estate. So yeah, it was extremely stressful, but here's the thing, right? Humans rarely perform unless it's out of necessity, which basically means you're not going to do anything unless you absolutely have to do it, right? That's why, the teacher gives us a week to do our homework and it gets done the night before every single time, right? So for me, I was just like, I'm not going to make this happen unless I have to make it happen. So I just need to, burn the boats, no retreat, cut the ties. I am now a realtor and just leave that career behind me. There is no plan B. There is no going back. I need to do whatever I can to make this happen. It was kind of like the mindset, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you said you went all in, you did the cold calling and, just everything that you could. Did you have like a mentor or somebody that you kind of hooked up with early on that was kind of helping guide you? And like, these are some of the things that you should be doing.
Yeah. So my partner, Sean, I guess, was my mentor at the beginning. He didn't show me the social media stuff or anything like that. He just kind of helped sculpt the way that I communicate and talk with people. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I started the social media thing is I always, I always followed Gary Vee and Grant Cardone and all these guys. And Grant Cardone isn't, you know, he isn't like a social media guy, but what everything he preaches goes back to social media. It's just like, what does he say? He's like, I can't do business with you if I don't know who you are, right? You need to find a way to break out of obscurity. That's the first thing you need to do as a business is get as many people as possible to actually know you exist. So then there's a better chance of people doing business with you, right? Well, TikTok for me, and now I do everything. Like I do YouTube, Instagram, but TikTok for me was perfect because none of my friends were on that platform. So I could just say whatever I wanted on there, like judgment free. Right. And also Gary Vee had been talking about this was the platform with the most reach. He was talking about it since it was called Musical.ly, right? Like way back in the day, back when it was just like a dancing, like 17-year-olds dancing on their app, right? So I was like, okay, well, I'll try this TikTok thing. And the reason why it got the most reach, just so everybody understands, is it's a supply and demand imbalance. When TikTok first came out and when it was newer, there was so many people on that platform consuming the content, but not enough people actually creating the content. So if you were creating the content, you were in demand. It was a lot easier for your stuff to show up on people's feeds, right? So I just started posting on TikTok and then, yeah, it was really, really easy to get, you know, 20,000, 30,000 views. And the beautiful thing about it is the way TikTok works is it pushes your content out based on your IP address. Mm-hmm. So it will actually show your content to everybody locally and, you know, based on how it's received locally, then it'll push it out internationally, which is perfect for realtors and mortgage brokers because we just want our stuff to get seen by everybody around us, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So when you kind of really discovered that and had that one big breakthrough on that second video, I mean, what did that do for, you know, your business and then your forward thinking of what the potential could be?
So it changed in respects to like, I knew that I could get known by doing this. I still didn't know at that time that I would actually get business from it until about a month later. I had 1500 followers or something like that. And I went into, I don't know if you guys call them pre-sales over in Florida, pre-construction condos. Is that what you call them? So I went into a pre-construction condo sales center and I just shot a video of the place. And then next, you know, I had my phone was ringing off the hook. I ended up selling four in there in an afternoon, took like 2 hours. And that was like basically 6 months of plumbing income right there. Right. So I was like, this is crazy. Right. So from that point onwards, then I was like, I'm not even going to cold call anymore. I'm just going to double down on this. So I went from posting twice a day on TikTok to 3 to 4 times, doubling up, you know, posting on my Instagram feed, my Instagram stories. And then it took me way too long to add YouTube, but probably eight months ago, I added YouTube. So now I post on YouTube 3 times a week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were first starting getting that business, what were some of the, you know, some of these people that were finding you, what were those conversations like when they said, hey, you know, I saw you on TikTok or were they local? How did that all work?
Yeah. So some of them would just say like, a lot of the deals that I got were pre-sales. So they would just say like, hey, I saw this pre-sale. Can you tell me about it? And then I would just tell them about it. And I would tell them the pros and cons. This is what I like about it. This is what I don't like about it. And then I just end up meeting them there at the sales center and they would buy it and it was easy. Right. And then I started getting a lot more listings because people liked the way that I marketed the listings. I always tried to do stuff differently than what everybody else was doing it. I'm not exactly what you would call professional, but you know, the way that I see it is professionalism doesn't sell homes. Eyeballs sell homes, right? So what I got to do to get eyeballs on your home is likely going to get you the highest price, right? So I was just doing stuff to basically interrupt the pattern on social media and get as much attention as possible. And people liked what I was doing. So I was starting to get a lot of listings too. And they would just call me up and I wouldn't have to negotiate anything. They'd just be like, hey man, I love the way you work. I love your work ethic. You're on my feed all the time. We want to list this condo at 123 Main Street. Send me the contract. And I'd literally just send it over e-sign and go pick up the keys. And that was that.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and you know, with your style of videos and things, you know, as millennials and Gen Zers are starting to purchase their own homes and things like that, they're on those platforms. So your face is there for them to see. And you, like you said, the pattern interrupt, it's not, you know, this highly polished, you know, just kind of tour through the home. It's you on there kind of showing off the place and in their face. And I definitely can see how that, you know, you stick out to these clients.
I appreciate that. And that's basically all social media is pattern interruptions, right? Like, there are people out there that'll literally go lease a Lamborghini. They can barely afford it, but mm-hmm. the pattern interruption that you get from the Lamborghini pays for the Lamborghini, right?
Right. Absolutely. What kind of research, or, you know, how did you kind of figure out that path on social media was going to work for you? What was it that made you go that direction on social media?
I always wanted to be an influencer. I always so part of the reason why I became a realtor is I actually wanted to be a real estate investor. That's kind of what my first passion. So I had two investment real estate properties, but everyone that I listened to, like Meet Kevin and Graham Stephan and, you know, the Bigger Pockets podcast and everyone that I consumed information from, I felt like all these guys are realtors, or they were realtors. Like, everybody was. Right. I was like, everyone started as a realtor that I listened to, that I like to listen to, that I looked up to. So I was like, naturally, that seems like the proper path for me. If I want to be a good real estate investor, then I should become a realtor. Right. And I wanted to be like these guys. But then when I started putting out social media content, I found that my actual passion, I still love real estate investing, but I'm even more passionate about the social media thing, because you have a bigger impact on the world. Right. You'd have the potential to completely change the trajectory of people's lives just by what you put out there on the internet, right?
Right, absolutely. So, you know, as things really kind of started progressing, how did you, you know, you said now you lead a team of what, 20 other agents? And I mean, what's that been like, just in such a short amount of time, going from just starting to leading this team?
Oh, it's been unbelievable, man. Like, it's nothing that I didn't have it in the cards. Like, when I first started in real estate, I was writing down my goals, like, you know, Bart Simpson on the chalkboard, like 400 times. I wrote, I want to do 8 deals in my first year, was like like 500 times I wrote this, and I ended up doing 57. So I had none of this planned out. It just happened. It's just, you get the opportunities when you put yourself out there. Right. That's what I love about social media, is you just, the amount of people that you meet just because you're putting your face out there all the time, the amount of people that will DM you or whatever. And your network is your net worth, right? Your network is growing so fast because you're building relationships with these people through the phone, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that's really interesting. And I'd love to have your take on it. You know, when it comes to different marketing techniques, there are certain, you know, KPIs and key, you know, stats that you're looking for. And some people can get so, you know, caught up in the amount of views or, you know, the reach that a particular piece of content might have. And they think about that one piece of content, but it's really the cumulative effect and, you know, everything that is happening. And like you said, it took a few months for those deals to come in, but it's that whole tidal wave that happens.
Exactly. And now I get calls, people, they're like, oh man, I've been following you for years, right? I've only been making videos for like a year and a half, but to them, it feels like years they've been seeing my face on the screen, right? It's just being like social media, really anything, right? But you just have to show up every day, right? If you're going to do the social media thing, if you're going to cold call, if you're going to door knock, whatever it is you choose to do needs to be done like every day. Social media, I do not miss. I do it every single day, right? If you want to take days off door knocking, fair enough, whatever. The social media thing, I think you need to do it every single day, because the guys that I follow and I look up to, when they go on vacation, they still don't miss their post, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of those things when people, you know, get into social media or they're starting to do it and, you know, they have these grand plans of doing, you know, the 2 posts a day or, you know, every day, and they don't have a process for doing it. They think, I can do this all by myself and I'm going to, you know, it just gets really overwhelming. And a lot of them end up, you know, bailing on it pretty quickly because of how, you know, much time it can take. What was your process and what has your process been to keep that, you know, machine churning?
Just start small, start with one platform, make sure you hit your post every single day and slowly add. Right. Like I said, I just started with 2 TikToks a day. And then I started ramping it up. add over time as you get more comfortable, but never take away, right? If you commit to one post a day, you do one post a day. Once it starts getting easier, and it will, because social media is like a skill, just like anything else, right? Volume times time equals skill. The amount of reps that you get in times the amount of time that you do it is going to build the skill, right? It will get easier. And then eventually you're going to be like, why am I only doing one of these? I can shoot this in 2 minutes. I'll just shoot two of them. And then eventually it's going to be like, why am I only doing two of them? I'll just start posting on Instagram too. And then you snowball from there and you just keep adding stuff to it. But don't get into it with the mindset that I'm going to put out 80 pieces of content this week. Just start with like one, right? And then because now I have an editor, right? So now I just sit down in front of the camera. I have like, you know, 10 point form videos and I just rattle off, you know, about those point forms all in one file, send it to the editor. They clip it down, send it to me. It doesn't require very much time at all, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really the way we do a lot of our video content is we'll write maybe like 20 scripts and, you know, the Charles or whoever it is that's working on the videos, he'll shoot them, send them our way. And then we have all this content that we can start banging out and including, you know, the stuff with the podcast. So it really does start to kind of build up and your library of content does start to fill up pretty quickly.
Exactly. And then you also build a portfolio of content too. So a lot of times you can remix old content, rehash old content that you've put out before. It just gets easier the more and more stuff that you put out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The more, you know, the people that I talk to that are creating really engaging content and are doing it on, you know, a large scale like you are with, you know, the multiple posts a day, you know, it's never that, yeah, I'm shooting them every single morning for that day. There is a very strategic, you know, way of let's knock out the recording, let's knock out the front end stuff. So then we can start to, you know, push the edited versions of things out as they come along. And that gives you the ability to do the more off the cuff, you know, on the fly things. And it's not so overwhelming.
Exactly. Exactly. You just book out some time, you know, shoot, you'll get in a flow state where you can write 10 to 15 videos just like that. And then just stay in front of it, you know?
Yeah. What have you found, you know, that some of your most successful types of videos for, you know, the TikTok platforms?
Probably green screen videos. Basically green screen videos, just there's something behind you, usually a news article, right? Because news articles are engineered by, you know, designed to grip you in and actually read the content of the article. So if I, you know, a lot of times it'll be like, they always talk about sales. They never talk about inventory and sales at the same time, right? So it'll be like sales down 43%, right? So I'll like put that behind me and then I'll just read the title. And then I basically just kind of like give my opinion on it and blah, blah, blah. Those ones always do really well. Green screening, you know, a pre-construction project behind me, like the rendering, those do well. Anything green screen, market statistics can do really well if they're very engaging statistics, right? And just get straight to the point on everything, right? I try to make my videos as short as they possibly can be to get the point across when you're doing short form content. And videos that work really well that I don't do are property tour videos. It's tons of agents killing it with property tour videos right now. Those ones get way more reach than the type of content that I put out, but I go for depth with my followers, right? Because there's, you know, there's views and then there's depths with the views that you get, right? So property tour videos work amazing. And the thing that's awesome about those is you don't have to know about the economy or inflation or the real estate market or any of this stuff that requires thousands of hours of research. You can just go shoot a property tour video and get better at it over time, right?
Right, absolutely. You know, when it comes to the social media marketing, especially for agents and the types of videos that you're doing and the reach that you're getting as well. One thing I think a lot of people don't necessarily talk about is that it's not just the people that are looking to buy and sell, but it's the other agents and the other professionals in the industry that you're making relationships with as well and that you're getting connections with.
100%. Like I've probably done 4 or 5 deals this year that was a referral from another agent in a different province, right? So you're absolutely right. It's just relationships are, you know, you want to make more money, shake more hands, basically, right? And that's all social media is when somebody watches you every day over and over and over, they feel like they already know you. You've built a relationship with that viewer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things you talked about earlier as well is that, you know, you listened to the Gary V's and the Grant Cardone's, and you consumed all this information. How important do you think it is to stay, you know, in order to have success on these social media platforms, to be also consuming the content yourself?
I don't think it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Imperative. I don't know if that's the right use of that word, but I consume content. That's part of my morning thing. Is like, I wake up, I go to the gym. As I'm, you know, making breakfast and eating it, I will consume other creators' content. Just, it kind of gets the juices flowing and it kind of gives you ideas. And then, you know, I will take an idea of theirs and turn it into my own. I don't directly copy exactly what they're saying, right? Or I might say exactly what they said, but then explain it in my own way. Right. Because a lot of creators just kind of say the same things over and over, but you might appreciate it the way somebody says it as opposed to the way they say it. Or you may appreciate the way that each and every one of them says it a little bit differently. Right. And the way I say it in comparison to the way that guy says it, maybe it might click for you more than the way that he said it. Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, especially, you know, if you're depending on who you're listening to in the real estate space, so many of these skills or these things that are being said by these other creators are applicable to real estate and to the transactions that are happening. And you can, you know, kind of mold it and shift it to fit your audience a little bit better.
Exactly. 100%. Right. So it's a rip off and duplicate is kind of what they say in the space. Right.
Right. Absolutely. One of the things I've also noticed is you've got a podcast as well. When did that kind of start for you?
That would have started 8 months in, I think. That's kind of when I started doubling down on the content. The podcast for me, I don't think it's done much for me in a monetary sense, but I have built a lot of relationships with a lot of agents in my market because of it. And, you know, podcasts are a long-term thing, right? It's going to take, you know, at least a couple of years before you start seeing some decent size returns from your efforts on a podcast, right? So, you know, I just started that just as something to do. It's just another form of getting content. I just get my editor, hey, clip down whatever you find in this episode. And it's just content that I don't have to think about, which is nice, right?
Right. Absolutely. I think that's one, you know, it is that relationship building because, you know, gosh, we're now, by the time this comes out, it'll be right around 150 episodes. That's 150 people that I would have never met, you know, without doing that. And they're people spread out, you know, across Canada, Israel, I mean, everywhere. And it really is that building of the professional relationships, I think, you know, does definitely help out, especially, you know, the real estate space. It's great referral partners now.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. So completely agree.
Yeah. What, you know, kind of moving forward and, you know, as your, you know, your business and your career in real estate takes off, what are some of your future goals?
Future goals. I want to be the most well-known agent in Canada. That's a future goal of mine. That's probably number one, right? I think if I just focus on that, everything else will come together. I think realistically, with the economy we're in right now, it's an attention-based economy, right? That's why Conor McGregor is the highest paid UFC fighter, even though he's, you know, probably not even top five. And then you have people like Logan and Jake Paul making millions and millions of dollars because they garner a lot of attention, right? I think if I just focus on that part of it, everything else will fall into place, right? I also want to start a coaching program. I'm working with my partner on that. You know, I don't want to be the guy that says, hey, I can take you to 50, 60 deals or whatever, right? But I know I can teach you how to start on social media and that kind of stuff, right? So I'd like to roll out a coaching program and help agents with that as well. And yeah, it's kind of where I'm heading.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you, as you've done the TikTok and you've gotten involved in more of the YouTube, have you been doing, you know, have you kind of taken some of that TikTok content and repurposed it or started to use that same stuff for, you know, the YouTube shorts? And have you gone in on that as well?
Not really. And the reason why is because for some reason on TikTok, like the crappier the quality of the content, the better it does on TikTok, where Instagram is the opposite. So Instagram, that's where I post all my edited clips. And then I'll literally remake that same video, but crude, with me just holding my phone with no microphone and bad lighting. And it'll do better on TikTok. But for Instagram and YouTube shorts, your stuff should be polished and edited for the most part. If you don't have the editor yet, don't worry about it, right? But for now that I've got the editor, I put the good quality stuff on Instagram and YouTube shorts. And then, you know, the really crude stuff goes on TikTok. Cause I found I was posting those clips to TikTok and they were just getting no views at all. And they were completely destroying my reach.
Yeah. I think that's really important, you know, to, as you're posting the content, if you're repurposing it, you know, really, you know, kind of dive into it and research what is working on the specific platform and not just kind of shotgun everything out to the same, you know, across the board.
Exactly. Each platform has its own feel, right? Its own like aesthetic. Like you kind of want to follow the aesthetic of the platform. Otherwise they're going to shoot you down, right? Like That's why Facebook won't let you run ads that just look like garbage. They'll just, cause they don't want that crap on their feed. Right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. When, you know, one of the things I did want to ask you, you've talked about your editor, and there are so many, you know, great social media editors out there and, you know, that have these skills. How did you go about, you know, finding your editor that's doing your stuff?
What did I do? I think I had a buddy who had edited clips. So I asked him who his editor was. And luckily for me, the guy was local and he didn't charge very much. And I would prefer to pay extra money to have an editor who's local. Now, that being said, people have great success with using editors in the Philippines or India or whatever. They've had great success, but I didn't want there to be a language barrier, right? So I'm okay paying the little extra bit of money to have somebody local. And I got lucky because the first person I ever reached out to was, you know, at the beginning, though, he wasn't as good. Like he wouldn't send me the stuff right away. Stuff would be misspelled, whatever. But we worked together, and like whenever he did something wrong, I just tell him like, hey man, do this next time. Right. And then he got better and I got better and we just kind of grew together. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't know, for us, you know, the style of these videos that we're specifically talking about is we call it like the Hormozy style, the Alex Hormozy. I feel like he was the one that kind of made this like style really kind of pop. And there are so many, you know, we're always getting hit up. I don't know about you guys, but like, we're always getting hit up by editors from somewhere like saying, oh, we can do this for you. And they'll show, you know, they'll have their portfolio. And so people out there, you know, that are, you know, trying to get this stuff edited, and it, you can find somebody out there relatively cheaply to do this.
Oh, totally. Like, you know, $300 to $500 a month, you could have an editor and, you know, get a video every single day. Right. Absolutely. And to me, the return on that is so much better than just like dumping money into Facebook ads, right? Because like we talked about, you're building relationships with all these people when you post every single day, and building a personal brand. Like I almost look at it like this. I am more concerned and more focused on building my personal brand. That's priority number one. The byproduct of me doing that is I get to sell real estate. Because the personal brand grows, people want to do business with me and I sell more real estate. So it's almost like you're building two businesses at the same time, right? So if you just focus on the personal brand, everything else will come from it, is the way that I see it, right?
Right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you talked about it earlier, the podcast that you listen to and the things that you've consumed, you realize, hey, these guys are all real estate agents as well. So down the road, when you're doing other things and your podcast takes off and all this stuff, and you've maybe, you know, not necessarily doing real estate, you know, full time anymore, your coaching program has really taken off. You know, you've kind of followed that same path.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's well worth it. Right. But before you spend money on it, learn, get comfortable on camera is what I would say, right? Put out a bunch of pieces of content, a couple hundred pieces of content before you spend money on an editor is what I would say.
Yeah. So with that, how did you get, you know, what was your way of getting confident on camera? Was it just, you know, shooting the stuff and pressing post, or, you know, how did you, you know, cause there are a lot of, like, I know for me at beginning, I didn't even like being on camera for the interviews. I was always a more behind the scene person. Right. Yeah. And then it just got to the point where, You got to forget about everybody else that's watching. I'm just talking to somebody.
Yeah. I think I just pretended to be confident. I wasn't confident. I was terrified, man. You know what I mean? Like, and then like you would get comments sometimes where they just ruin your day. Like you didn't have thick skin yet. And somebody would say a comment and be like, oh, it'd like piss you off the whole day. It literally ruin your mood the entire day. You get used to that really fast. But I mean, this is a piece of advice that I always say. Most people are not posting content, one, because their ego and they don't want to get their ego bruised, but they're worried about people that they know from high school, whatever, talking, you know, down on them for posting content, right? The reason why people do that is because they have an image, a version of you in their head. And the second you start doing stuff that's incongruent with that version of you that they've created, to them, it's like you're being inauthentic. So when they're like, Connor's posting on social media, he doesn't do that. He's being fake, right? But then after you've been doing that for a month or two, they just reinvent a new version of you in their head. And then it's no longer you being fake. That's just you being you. And there's really no reason to talk crap about you anymore, right? Another thing that I say, this is another big one, is people don't like the way they look or they sound on camera. That is how you look and sound, right? So whether you post a video or not, that is going to be how you look and sound. The only difference is now it's on a video instead of being in person, right? So like, don't let that stop you, right? Accept who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. But I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. I think, you know, social media, it's evolved so much and it's continuing to evolve in the style of videos that are coming out. And I think it's really cool that you found, you know, your style that is working for you and bringing you in so much business.
I appreciate that. And thank you for having me on, Michael. Seriously.
I want to thank Connor for joining us today and sharing his tips for finding success on social media. I really like what he said about having the mindset of building two simultaneous businesses, one of which is his personal brand. It's really easy to see the impact that his social media presence has made on his real estate career. Remember, if you're interested in hearing more from Connor, I've linked all of his social profiles and podcast in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story, real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.